Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. I just ask you, Lord, that you would go deep into our hearts, Lord God, as sons and daughters. Help us to line up with your will in this hour, Lord. I bless everyone who's here today, that we don't go back home today. We go forward. We go forward into a clearer way to hear your voice. We need to hear you more clearer, more precise than ever, God. And we want to follow hard after you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Remove things that are in the way and make things sure in our hearts, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God sees the one. And I thank God that he sees the one because he saw me. And he saw you. The one matters. Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. And so we've each raised our hand at some point, and we've said, here I am, send me. I give you my yes. The word of God is full of men and women who've given their yes. And let's just name a few, and as I name them, just think about their story. Sorry. Think about their yes. Moses. Think about his yes. Abraham. Noah. In the face of building that boat and all the mocking, we can relate to so many of these men and women. But this was his yes. He stood alone. They stood alone. Esther. Think of her yes. Live or die, I'm all in. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den for his yes, and his yes stood. Amen? Delivered from the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their yes cost them everything, yet there was a fourth man in the fire. Amen. Joshua. Yeses aren't always easy. Sometimes they may be very costly. Ask Jesus. He said yes to the Father, and he came to us. John the Baptist and the apostles. Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37-40. And he replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And this is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And our brother Alan came, and he spoke in the bush, the simple gospel. Love God, love people. And that's the simple gospel. We tend to complicate things. I tend to complicate things. Love God, love people. It's the simple gospel. We are the body of Christ. He is the head of his body, Ephesians 1. So the head makes the decision, and the body carries it out. That's the plan of God. Look at our bodies. The head says, I'm going to do this, and you go do it. The body doesn't put up a fuss. The body just follows whatever the head says. It's involuntary. There's not a choice. They work together completely and totally just the way God designed it. And we are the body of Christ. And he's the head. And yet somehow we think we can contend a little or say why or I don't know or weigh it out. And we think we have a say in the decision. When the head makes the decision, the body's just got to move. It's the simple gospel. Lord, help us, help me. Because I want to just move when you say move, and I want it to be involuntary. I don't want it to be that I weigh it out. Who do I think I am? If he says go, and I'm like, yeah, well, I'm tired, maybe in about an hour. You know, like, no. Or they have spears, Lord. What choice is that? If the king says, if the head says, he's so good. He is a good, good father. It is who he is. And he's worthy of our all. He is worthy of it all. I feel like he's trying to get us to have this reflex of obey. And we've kind of worked on it our whole life. But we got to get it. And we do outreaches, and outreaches are good, and we need to, right? We set aside this time that we're going to reach the community, and we have to. I'm not. We have to. But I feel I have this little glimpse that maybe there's a little more to it. Because as we're out there, we're kind of checking in with the Lord, and we're being real sensitive to his spirit, and we're looking for the one, and we're moving when he says move, and we're praying regardless of, because this is the time we set aside. And yet, I think that's the reflex God is trying to get us to live in every day. That's the practice ground to get your nerve up, because it's not easy. And it's not easy just because we're used to being the boss of this body. But he wants us to step over those lines, because actually that's what's normal and what we're doing is not. That's the normal thing. And he wants us to just start doing the right, the normal things. You know, his eyes, we ask for these things and he shows us things. But we kind of step back a little. You know, in Genesis with Adam and Eve, God gave them, what did he say to them? To guard and keep the garden. And that word keep has deep meaning. And when you open it up and look, it's a, like a war term. It's to keep. It's to be wary. It's to be aware. It has a lot of war terms mixed deep into it. It's to look circumspect and then to look narrowly at. It's to reduce the intensity. Keepers. You can know that because you teach it. You are a keeper over your children. And you look circumspect, make sure everything's good, and then you look narrowly. And there's many times you got to reduce the intensity. And we do that even in the body as leaders. It's a war term. The Lord is faithful. He is so good. And this body, he wants to train us to be keepers of the garden still. Is that everywhere in the whole world? Well, wherever the soles of your feet tread, that land he's given. And I know it has parameters and borders, but he's trying to, I feel, he's trying to equip us. He has equipped us. But he wants us to waken to who we are. To the more of who we are. And it's the simple gospel. Jesus saw the one, and then he always did something. And let's name some of the ones. I want to name some of the ones in the word. So Matthew 9, 35 and 38, Jesus had a ministry teaching in the churches and healing every sickness. He saw the crowd and he had compassion and he was moved to action and he healed them all. I mean, that was a crowd, but he did it individually. They were lost and he went after them. Luke 17, 11 through 14, on his way he met 10 lepers. I'm skipping a little bit, but they raised their voices, "Master, take pity on us." And when he saw them, he responded and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cured. Mark 10:21, the rich young ruler, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Zacchaeus in the tree, such love. He was walking in the crowd and he saw him up in the tree and invited him down. He's seeing the one over and over. Luke 19:41, as he approached the city, he saw it and wept. The woman at the well, we know the story. The woman who touched the hem of his garment. He was on the way. All these times Jesus is on the way. And on the way, things happen. On the way, things happen. And he always took the moment. He always took the moment for the one. He didn't let moments pass. He didn't let opportunities pass. He's our example. He left the 99 to go after who? The one. I know I think I shared this the last time I was here. It's just God has not released me from it, and he's just shouting it out in my spirit that I would respond to him. Love God, love people. His ministry was always on the way. So for me, I need to slow down and do as he leads, okay? I'm challenged as an American because we live by a clock. I'm challenged as an American because we live by a calendar. None of that is bad. We also get a lot accomplished because we do that. It's a good thing. It's not bad. But it can be if it causes us to not take those opportunities for the one. It can be a hindrance. So for me, I've got to slow down because I'm always in a fast. It's a mad rush. I'm running here. I'm running there. I'm living by appointments. And there's no time a lot of times for anything else. And sometimes there's no time for God on the way because I got to get there. Matthew 9:35, he sees his harvest field and he sees the need for workers and he sends. God loves, God is love, God loves people. It's the simple gospel. So aside from, this is what I hear the Lord saying, aside from our work, aside from our ministry, you're always on the way. We're always on the way somewhere. What do you see? And then what do you do about what you see? This has been a few years' journey for me now. So what do I see? And what will I do about the things that I see? Because I can always talk myself out of everything. I can talk myself out of it all. And that's me. I'm in the way because most of the time I'm on my way. When he shows me something, I'm on my way and I'm just in the group, in the move, and I'm just going. Okay. But you know, there's times that we all see the one. There's moments that we lock eyes. We lock eyes with a stranger. And in that moment, the whole world stops. I see them, and they see me. That moment can happen as we're walking, as we're in the mall, as we're in the grocery store, on the job. That moment can happen while you're driving. That as you're passing, somehow there's a locking of eyes. There's a touch that is different than every other bypasser, and it's different. Those moments, what are they? So I'm going to share just a couple of testimonies of his stories. And I wish I can always walk like this, but I'm doing it more and more, praise God. And may he receive all the glory. Okay. I was in a restaurant, Steve and I, last year. We were coming out to come to the States, and we came out of the field exhausted, and we went out to eat, and it was down by the Indian Ocean. It was just a stop place, open air restaurant, and as we walked in to be seated, there was only a couple of people there, but as we walked in, there was a clash of spirit. That table right there, it was two men, foreigners with a local African girl. And in that moment, everything in my spirit went to war. It was the oddest thing. And as we're walking to be seated, I'm shaking because, like, whatever that is so bad that the spirit of God in me is, like, screaming, like, to react, like, do something. And I turned to Steve, and I'm like, do you feel that? Because it was like, if my hair could have stood up, it would have. And I'm like, do you feel that? And he goes, oh, yeah. It felt like trafficking or something like that, that it was just big. Whatever that was big. And where does the Lord have this lady lead us to? Right this close. There's the girl's chair, and here's our table. And she's got her back to us. And I don't know why, but as we went to sit down, she spun around and looked at me. And there was that moment. And we looked in each other's eyes, and very kindly, she said, you're so beautiful. And I was like, oh, baby girl, you are. because my heart already was ripped from me. And we sat down, and I'm saying, I'm shaking, and I'm saying, what do we do? Like, why is God putting his finger on us like this? What do you do with a situation like that? I have no clue. I have no clue. And I'm like, babe, what do we do? And he goes, I don't know. So we prayed. It wasn't even a minute, because I'm like, God, I mean, okay, we see it, we're praying, but it wasn't enough. He wanted us to do something. What do you do? And then I heard his key, heard his word, and he goes, act like a mom. And I was like, act like a mom. And I'm like, shoo, I can act like a mom, you know? So I'm like, okay, breathe, get my strength, you know? And I get up and I go over to the table, and I stood at the table. I interrupted them harshly, and I banged the table. And I said, you, get up and follow me. And I walked away, and I just walked, and there was a chair, a bench over there. And as I'm walking, I'm going, oh, Jesus, bring her, bring her, bring her, because I didn't know what she was going to do in that moment. But the Lord was in it. I know that. And I sat down on the bench, and as soon as I sat down, that girl ran and sat right next to me. And I looked at her, and I said, what are you doing? You're going to die. And she goes, Mama. That's what she said. And she grabbed me and started sobbing on my shoulder, crying. It was on. This was it. This is that moment. And I rebuked her. We talked. Do you know Jesus? I heard of him when I was little, but no. And we shared the gospel. And God can start all over with you. He can make you clean. And she repented. And I said, you're going to die if you continue. She goes, I know. I already know. She goes, they've been starving me. I can't. They're not. I'm not eating. She goes, they promised me food. I'm not getting any food. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And in the end, we prayed together, and I said, well, this is the day the Lord has made. He's making a way for you to get out. So I gave her money for a bus. Where do you live? She lives a couple of hours from there. She had no way to get home again, and they were taking her. And I said, well, we're going to stand between you and them. God is with us. This whole thing is God. And I gave her money for the bus. And anyway, and we said, we're going back. She goes, how do we do this? I said, you're going back to the table. I'm going to stand there till you grab your bag, and you're just going to go. And if they get up, Steve and I are going to stand between you, and we're going to make a scene or something. They're not coming after you. So we got to the table. I stood there. She grabbed her bag, and she left. And then I sat down. And when I sat down, Steve was like praying in the spirit the whole time, because the men were furious that she was talking to me. And now they're sitting there, and they're like, where'd she go? Went to the bathroom? What's going on? Like, and then they're looking at us, and I called home. I called my daughters, my two daughters. And I was like, just letting you know what happened, because if anything happens to us, somebody knows the story, because we felt like they were going to follow us and maybe whatever. So we hung out there, and the Lord blocked us and blocked them, and he disarmed us. This girl still is calling me. She calls me like every other week. And God, she started a new business with her mother. Only God. I would never do that. I would never, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do. He knows. He knows. For the one. I was in Iraq. I'm just going to take you to different places because they have a million in Tanzania. But most people will tell Steve and I, oh, yeah, well, God does a lot of great things in Tanzania when you're out of the country. But it's not true. It's here, and it's everywhere. And it's everywhere his sons and daughters are. And if we just keep our eyes on the Father and keep our yes in front of us and not weigh any of it out, just do what the Father says. If we actually walk as his body, he will blow us away as he rescues, searches and rescues. And the earth is the Lord's and all who dwell in it, all. So I was in a refugee camp. We were in Iraq. We went to, it was an old prison, and it was these huge walls like something you saw out of the movies, and it was a round building. And my son got permission for the first time to go into this camp, and it was a big deal for them to go in. And he wasn't there. I went in with my daughter-in-law, Jana, and a team. And him and Steve, my husband, went and did something else. So as we walked in, like my spirit, I'm just all alerted, you know, I'm in a foreign land, and you're just asking God for every step, like, God, I don't want to miss you. And we're going in to minister into the refugee camp. And as we're going through this tunnel that's cut in the wall, like huge tunnel, like it's as tall as the above the clock there, as we're walking through this tunnel, a man comes out in uniform and he says, you're going to have coffee with me first. And he said, I run this place. And we're like, okay. So he brings us into this corridor, into this door, and we're doing this windy turny. And there's military sitting with machine guns and sitting on different turns of this building. And I'm trying to map my way out because I don't know if I'm coming out of this. And I don't know if we're being kidnapped. I don't know anything. And I'm like just praying in the spirit and trying to see if I can mark my way to get out if we have to. And as we walk through the door of his office, the Lord speaks to me, and he gives me a warning to tell the man. So now I'm sitting down, and everything about this is intimidating for me. Every single thing. The pictures on the walls were soldiers. His little Arab sign that probably only had his name on it was intimidating because it was written in Arab. Everything about it was like, it was like, Lord, help me. And I sat down, and he's offering coffee, and they sat for like 20 minutes while we had coffee with the team, and I didn't hear one word anybody spoke because I was wrestling with the Father over my message. And I was trying to reason my way out. I'm like thinking with my logic, like, Lord, if I say that, like, we can be arrested. And he didn't say a word. And I was like, but if I say that and he gets mad, this door just opened and Stephen's going to be he's going to say, there goes my mother again. You know, like, we're in trouble now. And the door shuts and they're not going to be able to minister here. And I was going through all my fears. And God, in his love, just let me wrestle. And he just stayed silent. And I knew I had to do it. And after they all finished coffee, my coffee just sat there because I was just like this with God. And I spoke in Swahili, and I told Jana, I'm like, I have a word to give this man. And she just smiled, and she goes, go ahead, Mom. So when the guy finished, we were supposed to stand up, and I was like, excuse me. I said, you know we're believers. And he said, I do. And he had broken English. And I said, as I walked through the door of your office, my God gave me a word for you. And he leaned forward and he goes, go ahead. I was like, okay. And God gave me a word from when this man was a child. And I said, when you were a child, you were a good boy. Your mother always could trust you. God gave me this word from when he was a child that you would be the one that she can always count on with the truth. And he's just leaning forward. And I went on, and we got to a point where you're here, you're sitting in the seat, but you really want to be somewhere else. You've got another business somewhere. And I said, but you're only here because the people voted you because they know you're a man who speaks the truth. I said, but right now, you have people over you who are going to force you to do things you know are wrong. And the God of heaven, who watched you your whole life, wants you to know he's real and wants you to know he's guiding you. And if you listen to those guys, you're going to be removed from this seat and you're going to be removed from all the plans you have. And it's only him who's watching you and giving you this warning this day. And anyway, and I got quiet and he slammed the table. And it was an adrenaline rush, like, we all got scared. And he slammed the table and he goes, you know me, you know me. And I'm like, I don't know you. I said, but Jesus Christ knows you, amen. And he goes, you just told me my whole life. And he goes, and I do have a business and I hate being here and I'm only voted in here. He goes, but God, he goes, I do have another business. Anyway, and he goes, you're Stephen's mother? And he stood up and he goes, come over here. And he gave me a hug and he goes, you're my mother. And, but the Lord, that's all. I mean, the door opened for them to do a ministry. He actually gave them a little plot where they can set up ministry stuff. God knows. I know nothing. I would never, you know what I mean? These are not things that are comfortable. God's not interested in my comfort. He's interested in our obedience. You know, because he has the keys. That man's never going to forget that encounter. He's never going to forget that God watched him his whole life and told a stranger his life. I was in a church in America. I was sitting there, and we were in the back and watching. The service was just about over, and I noticed a lady in the corner. She was fidgeting and fidgeting, And I was praying for her the whole time, and I'm thinking, you know, when there was an altar call, was she going to get up? Was she sick? I was just asking the Lord for her. And they did the, they called the sick forward. She didn't go up. And then all of a sudden she booked. And she came, she just got out of the far seat, came across the back of the building in front of us and went out the door. And I thought, wow, I just watched it. And then I heard the Lord just say, go, 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 like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I grabbed Steve. I said, I'm going. And I got up and I ran. And as I'm running, I'm saying, what, Lord? What? What do I do? What do I say? Like, what am I going to say to her? And I'm running after her, and I get to the parking lot, and she's booking. She's, like, already off the stairway, and she's going into the parking lot. And I yelled, I see you. I see you, says the Lord. That's what he had me say. And she turned around, and she was sobbing. Sobbing. It was suicide. It was the spirit of suicide on that girl. I couldn't know that. But the Lord, he knows. He's watching over. He wants us to respond and move. He knows what he's doing. I have no clue. I have to get over myself. I have to get over my thoughts. None of it makes sense to me. But he knows. He knows the deep secrets, the deep longings of the heart. I was in a hospital a number of times in the waiting room. This has happened often. But there was this lady, I was walking in the back, and the seats were forward. It was a waiting room waiting for the desk to call. And I just saw the back of this lady. It was in South Africa. And I heard the Lord say, pray for her. So I touched her shoulder. And I leaned over to ask if I could pray for her. And when I touched her shoulder, she spun around with her finger. And she said, don't you touch me and don't you pray for me. And she was angry. She looked like she was like 95 years old. She looked like she had been like a witch or murdered, such deep darkness. And she flung her finger, don't you touch me. And as she looked, because I was startled by her, and she got the attention of everyone around us. And as she looked at me, all of a sudden she goes, don't stop looking, don't stop looking. Your eyes, whatever. I don't have no clue. And I'm going, okay, God's doing. She goes, don't stop looking at me. And she starts crying. And I went around the bench and I knelt in front of her. And everybody is watching and she's carrying on. And I grabbed her face and she put a face. She claps like in my hands. And I was kneeling on the floor in front of her. And she just wept. And she wept. And she goes, something's happening in my body. I hear popping. She said, my head is clear. She went on and on. People started crying. And God met this woman. And she repented for her life. God just melted this lady in his presence. Because you know what? He's in us. He's in you. And it makes a difference. And he leaves the 99 for the one. And we see the one. We do. You can remember times of locking eyes, and if you don't, you're going to start seeing it now. And it doesn't mean every time you lock eyes, you got to run. Ask the Lord. He knows. He knows. But where his body? And he's not asking our opinion. He wants us to just live and move and breathe in him. And he's going after the lost. He knows what they need. We don't. We know they need him. And he just needs someone who said yes to not look at the cost or to look it square in the eye and just say he's worth it. It's the simple gospel. Love God, love people. He is faithful. So I want to close with a word. You know, God says that we will do greater things. We need to see those greater things. Don't you want to see them? I want to see them. Amen. Amen. He's waiting on us. All the creation we know is waiting on us. Longing, groaning, groaning for the sons of God, the daughters of God, to take their place. He showed me Jonah, the This year and last year when I was in Iraq, there's just Jonah's story, right? But here's a man, a prophet, who said yes to God. And you might have more insight into the details and the diggings of Jonah. But I was in Iraq, and I was in the Nineveh Plains. And we were driving in the car, and the plains were unbelievable. Beauty of the stories, of the history, of things that have happened there in that whole region in northern Iraq. And on this side, I was on this side of the car where the plains were as we went, and this side was just a mountain range, and there's just one road that goes. And it was all dry and barren, and there's times that it's field and forest, you know, not forest because it's just flat land, but green. But this time it was just barren. And as we're driving, I'm just like, oh, I can't even believe I'm here, God. And I'm just talking to him, and I'm like just overwhelmed by his goodness. And we're coming back, and as we're driving back, I'm looking at the mountains, and I love mountains. And I'm just looking at the mountains and the designs and the hills and the waterway paths. And then there's a cross. I'm like, a cross in Iraq? Like, there's this cross? And we're driving and driving. There's another cross tucked in the mountains, a cross, big cross. I'm like, wow. And then I saw a third one, and I was like, Stephen, what are the crosses? And he goes, oh, you want to see? So we pulled in, and now I'm going to pause. So now we continued. I'm not going to continue with that story, but my thought at the time. So we're driving, and you guys know the story probably better than, like, the geography of it all better than me. I'm driving, I'm like, okay, so there's the flatlands, there's the mountains. Where's the water where the whale spit Jonah up? Like, it's not here. How is this story fit? Like, I'm not getting it. Like, in my mind, he was spit on the beach, and there was Nineveh, and he just went. And I'm like, I'm not seeing the story here, Lord. Like, show me. And so I started doing a little research, and reread the story, refreshing my mind, and looked at the maps, and okay, so we know that he got a boat in Joppa, and he was a prophet of the Lord. He was running from the Lord because the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, to the Assyrians, and tell them to repent, and he had this message, and he jumped in a boat, and he took off, and he's going up to Turkey, to Tarsus, to hide in the mountains, because he's not doing that. He doesn't want to do that. God's the head. We are the body. The body didn't want to do it. And you know what happens when the body doesn't listen to the head? The only time that happens in life is when the body's sick. The body can't just always do what the head is telling, because sometimes there's sickness or illness. They may want to, but their body can't when there's something sick in the body. And I just felt like that was a cool analogy for me, that for the health, for the healthy body of Christ to live and move, we need to stay one with the head, our Father. So he runs, and we know the story. You know, he was on the boat, and the storm came. He gave God his yes, mind you, way back. And now he's running. He said no, and he runs. So the fish comes and it eats him. We know the story on the boat. And now he's in the belly. And I love when I reread that he wasn't saying, oh, God, save me. I'll just do whatever you want. He didn't say that the way some of us might. He just said, you are great. You are awesome. And he just acknowledged how awesome and great God is. And God released him from the belly of the whale 3 days, after 3 days. And then it said God called him again, and he went. And I did a little bit, like, so he's on foot, and he goes. And I know where I was, and now I know where Israel is. And so I put in Google Earth, how long does it take to walk from, like, I looked around the cities that are along the lake, I mean, the ocean there, the sea. And so I wrote this down. From Syria, Ugart, the name of the town, to Nineveh. If he was to walk, if he got dropped off at Syria, I have no idea how far that fish swam, but that would take 7 days and 4 hours. If he got dropped off near Damascus, it would be 7 days, 19 hours. If he was dropped off in Lebanon, Tyre, it's 8 days, 14 hours. That's how long. It's anywhere between 550 to 600 miles without considering food, terrain, water, and rest. And this is today on a road. That's how long it would take him. So how long did it take him to walk? When he said yes, he went. And he walked across mountains, deserts. He had to cross the Euphrates and the Tigris. And when he got there, we know that it was a great city. And it says that it was about 60 miles deep, 3 days walk. And his yes didn't just take him into the city like 10 minutes and preach and then run. He went, it says, a day and a half to get in. Anyway, and he put himself right in there, and then he preached. Now, we know the Assyrians were ruthless, wretched. He didn't want them saved. They were horrific. They hated everybody who wasn't them. They would cut noses and ears off people and pile them. They would cut heads off of people, and their soldiers would play outside the city gates throwing heads. And when they came upon cities, their military would back down and surrender in hopes not to be tortured so much, just at their presence. And he's being sent in there, and he knows, live or die, this is it. And he put himself smack in, because that's what his yes meant. And he went in, and we know that they repented. And we know the story later, they fell. None of that matters, but they had opportunity. Anyway, now back to my story. That was Jonah's yes. So we pull into the village that had the crosses. And do you know on the walls of some of those cities, so those little villages, they have drawings of the gospel story across the villages on walls, stone walls. They know the story of Jonah. They are Assyrian Christians. That's who's tucked in those mountains. Jonah's yes has fruit standing today. His yes has amazing fruit today. They are there because a man who was scared to death to say yes gave God his yes. What will God do with our yes? What will he do? There's unseen things yet to come because you said yes in your family. And lives that you have no idea how far-lasting the fruit is. I don't care where you are in your Christian walk, your yes matters. Yes. And he's going after the one. And may we, the body of Christ, stop walking in fear and walk forward. How would it look like if we actually worship God without fear? How would it look like if we walked in the streets without being afraid of what people might think of the law or this or that? What would we actually look like if we actually were just really being sons and daughters? Just be a son and a daughter. It's just time for us to break out of everything that's holding us back, to know who we are, whose we are, and just be the children of God. He sees them. You see them. He sees you. And let's respond quicker, body of Christ. In Jesus' name, I bless you. I bless you to hear like never before. I bless you to see everything God wants you to see, and you won't miss it. So don't stress over missing it. You're not going to miss a thing. You will not miss a thing if your eyes are fixed on him and you're asking him. He's not going to let you miss it. Stay in the secret place. Because in the secret place, we know from Joshua, we know from our own experience, you will be trained to hear his voice, to know him, to know his presence and his leading. If you're not sure of his voice, just ask him. Help me to know, separate the voices that I hear in my head, which is me, which is the world, which is you, which is my fear. He's a good dad. He wants everyone. What father doesn't want his kids to know his voice? There'd be no question when mom calls that you don't say, who are you? When she calls, we know who she is. The second you hear a voice, and the father wants it to be the same. Nothing less. We are the bride of Christ. He gave his all and he is expecting. Why wouldn't the body, his bride, give her all? Her all, nothing, nothing back, nothing reserved, everything for the king. He's worthy. Amen. I pray you're encouraged. May the Lord just, may his face shine upon you. May your ears hear his voice. May he be the strength of your heart, your song in the night. May he continue to be your hiding place, your counselor, your Prince of Peace, mighty God, the shelter we can run in and be saved. And bless you, body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In Jesus' name.